First John chapter 5 verse 1 to 4, and then we go back to, so that's from New Living Translation, then we go back to King James, or New King James. Go on.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God.
Listen to that. We don't need before, I just need to explain it to you. This is an issue of identity. See, everybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ, as what? Has become a son of God. And he says, I say, I'm not a sinner. And I don't carry about the sinner's mentality. You see, a sinner wants to sin. I don't want to sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm a son of God. I want to do righteousness. That's what I want to do. If you catch me not doing doing righteousness, it's not my nature. I just got caught up or tempted, but I don't want to. I don't want to sin, not because anybody's watching me. That's my nature, is righteousness. I'm a son of God from the inside out. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, you know what it means to believe? It's not just in your head. It's in your heart. We were saying last week, believing with the heart is commitment. It's when you believe with your head, it's agreement. So, do you agree that Jesus is Lord? Say yes. That doesn't mean you're born again. You can agree that Jesus is Lord and not go to heaven because it's just in your head. But when you commit to it, when you commit your life to that truth that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. See, that's the process. And so how people get born again is that they come to that point where they realize that Jesus is the Christ and commit to it. Hallelujah. Everyone, say everyone, who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Say, I'm born of God because I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me explain. If you believe that Jesus is the way, it means there's no other way. So if you believe that Jesus is the way and you're still seeking for many other ways, you don't really believe. If you believe that Jesus is the truth, there's no other truth. We found the truth. We have the truth. Someone say, oh, nobody knows. Nobody knows who is going to heaven. Nobody knows, you know, what is the truth. No! We know the truth. Jesus is the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say one more. He said, I'm the life. That means that in Jesus is packaged everything you need for your life to be victorious. Hallelujah. A million devils cannot stand the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Only if you realize it. The only time the devil can kick you about is if he didn't know. Amen. But the moment you come into that revelation that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is what? Lord. You don't understand. Jesus went to hell and dismantled the whole power of hell in their domain. And when he was leaving, he took away their captives. Hallelujah. He defeated them and took away Abraham's bosom. Took it away to heaven. Jesus is the life. And when you have Jesus, you have the capacity to overcome the world. Amen. Don't forget that that's who you are. Hallelujah. You may not be the tallest of them all. You may be short. That doesn't change your identity. You are a son of God. Hallelujah. You may not be the most eloquent person. It doesn't matter. You may not be the most educated person. It doesn't matter. You may not be the most privileged. You know, sometimes you look at life and you look at some people and it looks like everything just falling in place for them. It's like they are lucky. You know, everything just falling in place. And you are working harder, striving harder, but you know, like you're just moving from frying pan to fire. And you say, oh, you know, that person is lucky. But that's not your identity. Hallelujah. Your identity is not based on how lucky you are. Your identity is based on the fact that you are a son of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a son. When you wake up in the morning, celebrate God and say, ah, Father, thank you. Because I am a son of God. Someone say, ah, Jesus is the son of God. But so are you. You are his junior brother, a sister. Hallelujah. Bible says he has come to bring many sons unto glory. He came to reproduce. That's why he did not marry. Hello? Have you ever thought about it that Jesus did not marry? He did not marry. He has something better. His wife is the church. Hallelujah. He's going to marry the church. Yeah, there's a wedding. You know that the end of history. You know how history will end. This whole story. It will end, you know, when Jesus comes back with the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We are his bride. Hallelujah. He reproduced himself in us. Hallelujah. Yeah. When Jesus was on the earth, he was the only begotten Son of God. But when he died and he rose again, he gave back, he brought many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. I am a son of God. Say, I'm a son of God. So it affects the way I go through life. No matter what life throws at me, I can face it with the confidence that I am a son of God. Hallelujah. It affects the way I pray. I will show that to you later. Please continue, Sean. Everyone who is born of God is what? Has become a child of God. Continue.
And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too.
Continue.
We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Yes. Oh, let me just explain that again to you. You see, if you are a sinner, God's commandments are burdensome. You want to escape them. You want to see how you can dribble and escape. But if you are a child of God, you want to. You may not always, but you want to. Because you see, it's a change from inside. It's an identity issue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's something of pride for me to declare that Jesus is my Lord. And you don't understand, when Jesus is my Lord, my business becomes his business. Hallelujah. Anything that wants to fall against me is trying to fall against Jesus. And when I come against them in the power of Jesus, they must be broken. Hallelujah. Bible says that God has put in Zion a rock. Is there anybody that falls on this rock will be broken to pieces? But is there anybody that this rock falls upon will be grounded to powder? Amen. There are two levels. Yeah? When you decide that something, this thing you've been torturing me, I'm ready for you now in the name of the Lord. Yeah? And you go against, they'll be grounded to what? Powder. Because that's your identity. Anything that cannot defeat Jesus cannot defeat me. Because I'm a son of God. That's my identity. Except if I don't rise up to that identity, I am a son of God. Verse 4, please.
For every child of God defeats the world, and we achieve the victory.
For every child of God defeats this world, and we can achieve this victory through our faith. I'm about to go to questions. Let's just have it from King James. Go on, please.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yes.
And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him, also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Verse 4.
For whosoever is born of God.
For whosoever. Please listen to this. This is where I was going to. For whosoever is born of God. Say that includes me. Say that. Say that includes me.
That includes me.
Exactly, it includes you. For it belongs to you. Amen. Belongs to you. Yes, go on.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Overcomes the world. Tell me something. What can life throw that we be beyond what God can handle? What? Nothing. You see, sometimes you see something, a symptom in your body or in your life, and you feel that, you know, something bad is about to happen. There is nothing that life can throw at you that is beyond the power of God. Because everything that exists was made by his word. Hallelujah. It means that everything that needs to be recreated can be recreated by what? His word. When life throws it at you, remember that whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. He said, if you're a Christian, God did not promise that your life will be rosy, everything will be rosy. But he promised you that you have victory. Hallelujah. You will have victory. You will have victory. But how do you get this victory? Let's all continue.
And this is the victory.
This is victory. Go on.
That overcometh the world, even our faith.
Even our faith. And I tried to establish this last week. That the reasons why you see Christians not living victoriously is that they are not using their faith. Because the Bible says the just shall live by what? By faith. It's a faith life. You see, everything that belongs to you, you may not enjoy everything that belongs to you if you don't know that it belongs to you. And you may not enjoy everything that belongs to you if you know it just in your head, but you don't commit to that knowledge. Hallelujah. If something belongs to me, then I'm going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that nobody takes it away from me, because I know that it belongs to me. Hallelujah. It's like I'm sitting there and somebody goes right there and then, you know, takes my car key and wants to drive my car away. You know, even if I cannot chase them to catch them, I'll call the police. Hallelujah. Because it belongs what? To me. I'm not going to keep quiet. Some of you, like, you keep quiet and the devil comes, takes your car and takes it for a ride. You are smiling. How can you be smiling? It's your car. It belongs to you. The devil has no right to take it for a ride. Except you permit him. Hello? And let me tell you something about the devil. If you give the devil your car to take for a ride, and you agree on the price, he will not pay you the price. He will use up your fuel. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Whosoever is born of God has the capacity to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means that the tool you need to continuously live victoriously is your faith. And that's why there's not, no matter what the devil takes away from you, he cannot take away your faith. He can't, you have your faith. Hallelujah. You have to use it. Hallelujah. The Bible says you put up that shield of faith. What does that shield of faith do for you? With that shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts, arrows. No matter, so that tells us something. The devil is always shooting arrows. Whether you like it or not. He's always shooting. There are arrows as you're going back. You can't see them, but there are arrows flying about spiritually. Bible talks about in Psalm 91. He talks about the arrow that flies by night. So nobody can see it, but it's flying. But Bible says, with your shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You need your faith to overcome. Say, just say, I need my faith to overcome. See, overcoming is not automatic. Although it belongs to you, you have to use your faith. Although it belongs to you, you have to do what? Use your faith. Please don't someone smile at them. Smile at them. Ask them a question. Say, are you a believer? Get an answer. Tell them, now look them in the eye. Smile like they're like a prophet. Tell them, say, you have to. Use your faith. Please turn some, because you see what you're saying now may deliver somebody. Because you're not just speaking to them, you're speaking to their spirit. Look at them again. So they say, you have to use your faith. You see, sometimes things happen to you. You go about grumbling, complaining, criticizing, lamenting, you know, worrying. Despairing, yeah. Sometimes you just do fingers crossed. We just hope. You see, it's good. Hope is good. I told you, hope is a massager. Hope is a massager. It massages your emotion, but it doesn't necessarily deliver result. It will make you feel good, but it's not necessarily going to take care of that. You know, you may be feeling, but feeling pain, and you're going for massage every day. You'll be feeling good. But the pain is still there. Hallelujah. Hope is good, but hope is not what gives you the victory. It's your faith. You have to use your faith. Whatever the situation, begin to direct your faith against that situation. Keep using that faith until the situation bows. Because it must bow. It's the word of God. If it doesn't bow, the word is not true. The word is true. What happens is that you back off. You back up too quickly. Hallelujah. You have to use your faith. Because your faith is the victory. Hallelujah. You see, God opened my eyes one day and I found out that it's true. With God, all things are possible. We are the ones that limit God. We just say, okay, this one is too big for God. I will just trust God for this little one. So, and I found out something about God. God will only fill your cup according to the size of your cup. Yeah, if you bring to God that, you know what we use for communion? The tiny cup? He will fill it. He will fill it. If you bring to God, the one we use for hot chocolate? He will fill it. Hallelujah. If you bring in one liter bottle, He will fill it. If you bring to God that, you know the bucket we use for offering? He will what? If you bring a drum, He will fill it. If you bring a house, He will fill it. It's according to your faith. Hallelujah. Whatever you are willing, yeah, to trust God for and go the distance with Him for, He will fill it. You know why? Because it pleases God to fill your cup. You know why? Because God is infinite. You can't exhaust Him. It's not like you know, you go to an ocean and you take a drop and you think, okay, you've dealt with the ocean. The ocean is still there. Are you with me? He will fill it. So you have to use your faith. Those who live victoriously will use their faith. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay, let's go to 1 John. That was the preamble. But what I really want to teach today is in verse 13 to 15. And I'm sure that you will learn something special today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. So let's have one of our youth read again. Another youth. Yes, Audrey, you have it. Oh, no, Agnes. Agnes, no. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Give the mic to Agnes. Still coming to you, Chichi. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Audrey, you have the mic. Give it to Agnes. Yes. Go on.
They know that you have eternal life.
First John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15.
These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Can you see that? I mean, that's not where we're going to, but I just want to emphasize that. He said, I've written these things to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you can know that you will have eternal life. Is that what he said? That you will have eternal life. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. Read it again.
That you may know that you have eternal
life. That you will have eternal life?
No.
That you will have eternal life?
No.
What did he say?
That you know.
That you have when? When do you have that eternal life?
No.
Let me explain why. Because when you receive Jesus, you receive eternal. Jesus is eternal life. Hallelujah. Jesus himself is what? Eternal. So long you don't walk away. You see, if you walk away, God cannot help you. You know the song we sang today? It said, if we run to him, he will run to us. Hallelujah. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. I've explained if I said, God, you, there's no point in praying praying that God should draw near to you. It's not scriptural. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So the principle is there. If I want to be nearer to God, if I want God to be nearer to me, it's very simple. I just need to draw near and then he will draw near. He will fill your cup according to the size. Amen? If you believe in the name of the Son of God, you are eternal life. When? Now. What is that life for? Do you know what that life is for? The life, eternal life you received now. Why now? Why not like when you die? Why do you have the eternal life now? Anybody give me an answer? He said, I've written this to you that believe in the name of the Son of God so that you will know that you have eternal life. Why do you need eternal life now? Not when you die. Yes, let's have two answers. Why do you need that eternal life now? He said, I have written this to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you will know that you have eternal life. You have it now. But why do you need eternal life now? Why not when you die? He has rebooted. Okay.
I think it's to teach us not to be fearful.
Fearful, okay, not to be fearful, yes, okay. Why do you need eternal life now? Yes?
Because you're already a believer.
Yes, yes, no, that's not the perfect answer. Yes, that's, why do you need? I didn't say why do you have. Why do you need eternal life now? You know it.
Because the world we live in is full of challenges.
Everybody put your hands together for Pastor Jimmy. That's why I'm training her. Yes, another answer. Why do you need eternal life now? Yeah? Because in this world, you will face tribulation. You will face challenges. You will face uncertainties. That's why you need the life now. The life is in you to help you face those situations and be a winner. Hallelujah. Jesus said the thief comes. When does he come? When people die? It's now. To steal and kill and what? Destroy. But say, I have come. How has he come? It's not like maybe like he came 2,000 years ago. He came into your life when you committed your life to him. Hallelujah. Jesus came into your life when what? When you got born again. Am I right? He said, I have come into your life. No. Why? John chapter 10 verse 10. So that you can have what? What kind of life? Eternal life. You were alive already before Jesus came. Amen. You were alive before Jesus came. Am I right? So when he came to give you a different kind of life. Eternal life. So that you can have eternal life and have it more what? Abundantly. Why do you need it? So that you can face the thief and put him back on flight. Hallelujah. You have eternal life now so that you can face the challenges of life and be victorious. Hallelujah. God did not call you to be a victim. He called you to be what? A victor. Hallelujah. But you know, before you can become a victor, there is a battle. There is no victor without any what? Battle. Hallelujah. And to overcome, you need faith. You need to use your faith. If you are a believer, you already have faith. Say, I have faith. You may have little faith. Hello? Or you may have great faith. But if you are a believer, you already what? Have what? Faith. If you don't have faith at all, you are what? An unbeliever. You need to get born again. Are you with me? You have faith. It may be little or big, but you have what? Faith. Say to yourself, I have faith. And I got to use my faith. Hallelujah. Okay, now go to verse 13. Verse 14 and 15. This is where we are going to. This is what I was building you up for. I want to teach you something radical about faith today. Go on.
And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Okay, verse 14.
Now this is the confidence that we have in him.
Now this is the confidence that we have in him, yes?
That if we ask anything according to his will.
That if we ask anything according to his will.
He hears us.
He hears us. Go on.
And if we know that he hears us.
Listen that. If. Somebody say if.
If.
What is if? Let's ask the consultant. I know it's not a consultant of English. What does if mean? When you say if?
Conditional.
It's conditional. I always tell people, I say, the word of God is conditional. Everything of God is conditional. If, then. If. Someone say if. Now continue reading. Yes? If.
We know.
No, continue with the if. Repeat the if, yeah.
And if we know that he hears.
If we know. Can you say a condition about prayer now? Do you understand why some of your prayers are not getting answered? Is that if we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us. Then, continue.
Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him.
Amen. Let's stop there. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we also know that we have the petitions we have desired. Can you see the condition? So that if I want my prayers to be effective, I have to get to that point where I know that he's hearing me. Hallelujah. But how can I know that he's hearing me? Verse 14. He said, this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. that we have in him, that if he has anything in accordance with his will, he hears. So if I want to know that he hears me, I got to start from being confident in him. Hello? Faith is confidence. When I am confident in him, or confident in his word, I can know that he hears me. Hello, are you listening to me? Listen, if I know God's word, if I know God's will, yeah, I know what God has said, and I know how God operates. When I go to him to pray, I go with confidence. Faith is confidence. Hallelujah. See, faith is not begging. Oh, Father, Lord, God Almighty, creator of the heaven and earth, please. See, that's for the baby Christian. God will hear you if you're a baby Christian. Because you do know how many things you do for your babies. Hello? Anybody change nappies here ever in their life? Hallelujah. Whether male or female. Sometimes when those children are naughty, you need to remind them that I changed your nappy. I wiped. Until all the wipes were finished. I know you are getting ready, Sister Amanda, yeah? Hallelujah. 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 Faith is confidence. When you are confident in God's word, you will know that he hears you. When you are confident in God's word, when things come against you, you will know that you will have the victory. And that's why if you know that he hears you, then you can be confident that what you are expecting will happen. Amen? That's why the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. But today I want to teach you something about faith. You see, many times we've said that faith is the evidence of things not seen. But I think I want to say it in a different way. Faith is the evidence of things you can see. But I know in the world we say, seeing is what? Believing. So if you go to Hebrews, the way I will interpret that, faith is the evidence of things not seen physically. You see, seeing is believing. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Say, Pastor said. So now, this is disclaimer. Say, Pastor said, seeing is believing. Let me explain it. In the natural, you will not believe anything if you could not see it or prove it. Someone said, oh, I have 10 million pounds in my bank account. And every day you see them begging at Tesco's for coins. I say, hey, hello, how are you, Dylan? He said, yes, I have 10 million pounds in my account. Next day, begging for a pound. Will you believe that they have 10 million pounds in their account? Because seeing is what? Believing. Hallelujah. So, first time you had did a business with somebody, or you had an encounter with somebody, they let you down. Second time they let you down. Third time they let you down. Fourth time they let you down. Fifth time they let you down. Sixth time they let you down. Seventh time, will you trust them? No. Seeing is what? Believing. The same thing in the spiritual. Faith is based on what you can see spiritually. Hallelujah. Now let me ask you a question. How can you see spiritually? What enables you to see spiritually? Yes. Remember what I said. I said faith is based on what you can see spiritually. Because someone, you know, sometimes when I ask people, say, you know, faith is trusting God for what you can't see. No. Faith is trusting God for what you can see spiritually. But I will explain it so that you understand faith in the deeper sense. Because when you understand that, you understand how that connects to confidence. How can you see spiritually? Or what does it mean to see spiritually? Let's take two answers or three.
Your heart and kind of your mind.
Okay. How can you see what God has done for you or what God is doing for you spiritually? What enables you to see that gives back to your faith? I said faith is based on what you can see spiritually. But how can you even see something spiritually? It's very simple. The answer is very simple. You've done it many times.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Hallelujah.
And when we study the word of God, then we see the pattern of what is done in the past, and then follow it and be able to know what he can do in the future.
Hallelujah. The word of God is the mirror. When you look at the word of God, you can see what God has done and what God is doing. You can see what God has promised. You can see what belongs to you. You can see somebody sick and then they were made whole. Peter's mother-in-law was sick of the fever. They went to her house. Yeah? And then, you know, Jesus laid hands on her and then she got well and made them a nice dinner. You can see, oh, this is what God does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah? You read in the Bible, you know, about somebody possessed by the devil. And then Jesus went and just cast it out. Even the disciples, you can see that this is how God operates. Hallelujah. You read in the Bible, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you read that word and you meditate on it, you can now see that actually, I don't need to ever pray that God should not forsake me. He will never. Hallelujah. Faith is based on what you can see. If you can see it, you can receive it. Please don't say if you can see it, you can receive it. Hallelujah. So the reason why we don't have faith is because you cannot see. Seeing is what? Believing. If you can see it in the word, you will believe it. Hallelujah. So now the question is this. Let's assume that you're in the situation whereby, you know, you are trying to have faith, but you don't really have faith. Or you are having faith, but you are not confident. So how can you develop your confidence? Because now we understand that confidence is the key to answer prayer. When I enter God's presence, I know what God has said. I know what God, how God operates, and I just ask him in line with what he has said and how he operates. And I can know that he heard me. I can walk away knowing that he's done. Even if the answer comes in 6 months' time, from that moment, it's done. I can only just start giving thanks. Thank you, Father, it's done. And I can see it. I can see it in my spirit. Hallelujah. I can see it. You know, sometimes when something comes against you, let's assume, for example, that it's happened to me. I traveled in 2015. You know, traveled to Nigeria, and I came back, and then on my leg, this saw appeared. I don't know how it happened. You know, I must have scratched it. And then it was just there. It's not going to heal. You know? And every time I scratched it, it became bigger. And it was an open, so I could not explain it. I did not know. You know what? Now, you can look at it and begin to, what? Then you start seeing, oh, maybe this thing is that thing, or maybe it's that thing. That's what you can see. You're in trouble. The devil got you. But as you begin to look at it from the word of God, you can see what that saw is a visitor. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I saw it in the Word. It's either the Word of God is true or it's not. And if it's not true, you better just bin it and go and party. You see, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The saw is a visitor. Hallelujah. In the physical, if I keep looking at that saw, I may start thinking many things. Go to Google. Go to internet. Google. Even the things that are real and the things that are not real, Google will tell you are the possibilities. And then in your imagination, you are beginning to imagine left, right, center, and backward. You know, sometimes to overcome, you need to learn to block your mind. There are some things you can't block your mind from, I know. But the ones you can, please try to. Amen. You know, I always tell you, I say, there are some things that you don't want to go down that route. You will suffer. Yeah? They will poke you, left, right, center, investigating everything that is not there. Yeah? And fear will come in. Are you with me? That's the consequence of not living by faith. Hallelujah. You see, in the natural, things can be done. Medicine can help you. Medicine is good. Are you with me? But that's natural. Hello? That's what? Natural. But the spiritual is greater. Somebody said, they said the spiritual is greater. You see, for example, let me give an example. Let's assume that, you know, a baby is not feeling well. It's happened many times. It's not like yesterday. A phone call will come. And you know, this, my wife here, she's a pediatrician with special interest in babies. And then you have a medical opinion. And many times I listen. And then she will just give advice. And then many times I've heard, you know, it happened that, you know, people just go and do what she said and everything is okay. That's valid. Yeah, that's in the natural. Hallelujah. We need doctors. Hello? We what? We need doctors. But that's natural. But in the spiritual, there are times that the doctor cannot even help you. He said, I don't know. Oh, they start speculating, is this way, is that way, is that way. You yourself, you are losing, you've lost confidence in them. Hello? have you ever been in a situation whereby you lost confidence in a doctor? Yeah? Hello, are you with me? So, at that point, you know you need something stronger than the physical. Amen? The spiritual is greater. You see, as a believer, you're not just to live only on the physical. You should live on the physical. Like I said, if you're crossing the road, don't close your eyes and say you're having faith. Hello, are you with me? Don't close your eyes and say you're having faith when you're crossing the road. That's foolishness. Yeah? Open your eyes wide. Are you with me? That's a physical law. I told you before, I said, God will not cook your food for you. You either go to cook it or you go to the restaurant. Are you with me? That's a natural law. So you need to follow some natural laws. But there are times when natural laws cannot help you. That's why you need to know how to exercise your faith to deal with those situations that natural laws cannot help you. Are you with me? So we don't know what to do. Hallelujah. Faith helps you to see the spiritual. You see it like a mirror in the Word of God. And that means that something appears in my body. I'm telling you what happened to me. And so, you know, I thought maybe I was not creaming my leg well, because at first I appeared dry before I started scratching it. So I started creaming my leg more. This sore was not disappearing, but it was getting bigger. My wife is a witness. She's forgotten now. It's good to forget things, yeah? And it was there. I just went back into the Word of God. My body, you don't understand. You see, you know that scripture, but you know it in your head. But you got to meditate on it to the point that you commit your life to it. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? No soul has a right to lord it over my body. You meditate on that word until you can see it. It doesn't. Because my body is either my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or it is not. He said that I have received eternal life or I have not. There's no middle point. So I said speaking to that soul. But you know, it's not just speaking. It's with confidence. Say confidence. You see, that's the difference. You see, you may speak, but if you don't speak with confidence, nothing's going to happen. You see, Bible says that those who believe my name, they will cast out devils. Have you ever read it? Is in Mark 16, verse 17, 18. But not every Christian, you know very well that not every Christian can cast out devil. You know that. They should be able to, but not every. Why? Is it because God's word is not true? No. It's confidence. Are you with me? The devils can recognize confidence. Even dogs, you know dogs? Woof, woof. They can recognize what? Confidence. Hallelujah. If you talk to your dog is running after you, say, go back home. It will just lick you. Hallelujah. What is it? You get. He said this way. They can recognize confidence. Devils can recognize confidence. Sickness and disease can recognize what? Confidence. Situations. You know, Jesus, he saw the storm. He commanded the storm. He says, please be still. The storm ahead. In the physical, the storm cannot hear. You understand what I'm trying to explain to you? In the physical, these things don't have ears. But in the spiritual, they do. Hello, listen to that again. In the physical, they don't have ears. But in the spiritual, they do. So Jesus said to the storm, he said, be still. He heard. But he heard the command based on the confidence. So it's not just your command that matters. It's the confidence that backs up that command. And I said, you leave my body. Now listen, I didn't leave immediately. But I came to a point that I entered a point whereby I was totally confident that it could not remain. It still took some weeks, but it went. But even before it went, I was now totally confident that it could not what? Remain. That's how faith works. So you see, the reason why your faith is not working is because you are not meditating on the word of God enough. Faith comes by what? Hearing. You need to put yourself to hearing the word. I tell people, I said, you know, if you're in a situation, you can't just complain and say, God, don't you know I'm here? He knew. He actually even knew before you got into the situation. I tell people, I said, your need, listen to me, your need, it moves the heart of God. But it is only your faith that moves the hand of God. Hello, listen to that. God is touched by the feeling of our infirmities in the Bible. Yeah? But that's not why he acts. It is not your need that pleases God. It's your faith. Hello, listen to that. It's not your need that moves God. It's your faith. If your need moved God, this world would have changed a long time ago. Do you know how many people are needy? Hello, even rich people are needy. Some very rich people are very unhappy. Some very rich people even commit suicide. And you listen to me. It's not the need that moves the heart of God. It's your faith. Because you know why? Because faith demonstrates that you trust what God has said. It pleases God. And if you can enter to that point whereby you have now become confident. Somebody say confidence. Then from that moment you know it's done. Now let me give an example. Something suddenly appears in your body. It could be anything. You don't even know where it comes from. It could be anything. It could be nothing. And it could be anything. Yeah? The last thing you want to do is start worrying about it. That's not faith. Hello? That's not what? Faith. Of course, do what you need to do. Are you with me? Do what you need to do. But don't start worrying. Because when you start worrying, it diminishes your faith. Yeah? If you need to take a tablet, take it. If you need to drink water, drink it. If you need to, you know, eat some food, eat it. But don't worry. Instead, go to the word of God. What did the Bible say about my body? Let me tell you two things that the Bible says about your body. It said Jesus Christ himself was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The punishment for your peace and well-being has belonged to him. It laid it on him. You don't want to see him. Because the Bible tells in Isaiah 52, he said his form was so deformed that you don't want to see. You know, like horror movie. You know, there's this film, The Passion of the Christ. It came out many years ago. And initially I was a bit upset because the film board rated it 18. I said, why are they reading The Passion of Christ? Is it because it's a religious film? But no. What they did to Christ was horror. They told him. But not for his sake. It's not for his sake. You see, if Jesus was going to die for your sins, he didn't have to be. I mean, the days before, they used to kill lambs. Yeah, as sacrifice for sin in the Old Testament. They didn't mutilate their bodies. Are you with me? So if it was just for your sin, all he needed to do was shed his blood. Yeah? But no, they broke his body. That was the sacrifice he paid for your own peace and well-being. So I understand what the Bible says about my body, that Jesus has paid the price for the well-being of every cell and every tissue in my body. Now, that doesn't mean the arrow that flies by day and night may not come around. But when it shows us, you lift up your faith as a shield. And say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my body belongs to Jesus. Sickness, I'll announce to you. I know you can't hear me physically, but you can hear me spiritually. You are not welcome. And I command confidence matters to leave. Now, you may not see it leave, but you speak to it. You see, once you become confident, it's done. It's a done deal. It's a matter of time. Amen? It's a matter of what? When you are confident, your recovery, your deliverance is a matter of time. Faith is confidence. But you cannot be confident if you are not going to hear the word. If you are not going to meditate on the word. If you are not going to confess the word. Your faith cannot rise. Your faith will remain little if you don't feed it. The more you feed it with the word of God, it will what? Rise. Then you begin to see victory. So just say, victory is mine. In Jesus' name. Let me just round up again with that scripture. He said, this is the confidence we have in him, that if he has anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. How can you know God's will? Where's my how can you know God's will? Anybody? Where's my mic? How can you know God's will? Where's the mic now? Okay, yeah, I found it. Yes, how can you know God's will? Somebody say, oh, we don't know what God's will is.
Because it's written in the Bible.
It is like, you know, the way you, when you say it's written, you know what resonates in my spirit? It is legal. If it is written, it's legal. Hallelujah. Yes, how can you know God's will? God's word is God's will. Hallelujah. And once you know God's will, you come before him and you ask in accordance with his will. You have the confidence that he hears it. That means that God doesn't hear every prayer. He hears every prayer, but he doesn't listen to every prayer. I can show you in the Bible. He said, because of your sin and iniquity, I will not hear you. You think God hears every prayer? No. He hears, but he doesn't listen to every prayer. Hallelujah. But if we ask in accordance with his word, he hears us. Hallelujah. He hears us in terms of he is ready to answer. And the Bible says, if you know that God hears you, then you are confident that you will receive what you have asked for. Hallelujah. So listen to me. Sometimes bad news may come in. People may even tell you, you know, they saw something and you need to be prayerful. Be prayerful. But use your faith. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's not the time to be fearful. Amen. It's the time to use your faith. Are you with me? Yeah, you may see a symptom in your body that doesn't align. Use your faith. I tell you, as I say, if this word of God is not true, yeah, if not true, we should close the church. It is true. It's alive. Yeah? If you can take hold of it and lay hold on it, it will work for you. Amen? You commit yourself to that word and say, this is true for me. I don't care if a million people have been passed by. This is true for me. Hallelujah. If I see something not okay in my life, I begin to resist it with the shield of faith, which is based on the word. I enter into a stage of confidence. Not, I don't see it any other way. You see, what you see matters. Please don't you understand? What can you see? You see, sometimes you're already seeing the wrong thing. You have to see it through the window of the world or the word. Hallelujah. I cannot have cancer. It's not my portion. Amen. I can't have it. I'm not saying the devil cannot throw us about. But as far as I am concerned, it's not gonna happen. Even I'm not gonna think about it because you know what? I am healed. I'm in health. Anything unhealthy in my body is disappearing. I didn't tell you I don't sometimes you feel some pain or some, but I choose not to see beyond the pain. What should I say? I don't want to cooperate with it. It's not mine. Is it yours? Do you want it? I don't want it. It's not mine. So I'm not gonna think about it. I'm gonna think about the word. I'm going to hang my life on this word that it is true. And with that, I will overcome any fiery dart that the devil is throwing against me. And it belongs to you, if you're a child of God. You have faith. See, I have faith and I will use it. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. It's my passion as a believer, as a pastor, is that you can live victoriously and your light can shine. You know, he said, let your light so shine. How will your light shine when you don't have faith? Hallelujah. Let your light shine. Hallelujah. Anytime you take hold of God's word and you apply to your situation confidently, faith is there. And victory will be yours. Or even it's yours already. It's a matter of time. So say, Father, I choose to lay hold on your word. I choose to lay hold on it confidently, to commit myself to the word. The word of God is the highest legal document in the whole universe. In the Supreme Court of Heaven, there's only one document that is valid. It's the word. So if I lay hold on that word, the spiritual creates the physical. It may take time. It may take time. But the spiritual is greater than the physical. Hallelujah. The word of God creates new realities for you as you begin to listen, as you begin to meditate, and as you begin to speak it into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, while we're praying, there's something that I have got. Open your Bible. This is your takeaway. Open your Bible to Job chapter 22, 28. You need this one. Okay, you understand why I'm taking you there. Job 22, 28. And now, let me just read it to you from King James Version. This word came to me in my sleep 2 days ago. It's a word for you. It's a word of prophet. It's a prophetic word for your life. Amen? Job 22, 28. Job 22, 28. Somebody read it to me from King James Version. Job 22, 28. It's a prophetic word for your life. The Holy Spirit dropped it into my heart 2 days ago. Job 22, 28. Yeah, go for it.
Thou shalt also decree a thing.
You shall also decree a thing. Yes?
And it shall be established.
And it shall be established unto you. Yes?
And the light shall shine upon thy ways.
And the light will shine on your ways. Use that word to pray. What God is saying that you have the capacity, not only the pastor or the bishop. You have the capacity, when you are standing on the word of God, to decree a thing with regards to any aspect of your life, and it will be established unto you. And light will shine on your ways. Use that to pray. Use that to pray now. Begin, look at any situation, anything, and begin to make decree. You have to. You cannot keep quiet. You make the decree with confidence in the word of God and in the name of Jesus. And Bible says, when you do that, it shall be what? Establish, and light will shine on your ways. Thank you, Father, because we have victory in the name of Jesus.